Was that how you feel about it this morning?
Amen. You want your life to count for Jesus, I pray so. Every heart clear. Anybody with something on their heart? Well, it truly is a privilege to be here this morning. And there's a few things I need to say before I start my message. Does anybody know my Uncle John? I'd be John Gilly. There's a few hands, some heads bobbing. He wanted me to send his greetings, and he wanted you all to know that he is thankful for the Wisebaugh Church this Thanksgiving season, and his prayers are with you, and he's praying for the church and each one of you. So he wanted me to send that along. And my wife and I, too, we're thankful for the Wisebaugh Church, and we were able to go to Guatemala this summer, and a large part of that was due to you all. And we were there for a VBS and a revival services, and God came and helped in the VBS. About 60 to 70 kids were there through the VBS, and about 20 of them prayed and accepted Jesus into their heart. And a lot of that was possible through you all, and we're thankful for that and for your giving there. But wanted to give you a little report of that, how God helped, and you were able to play a part in that. Well, it truly is a privilege to be here this morning, and I have a first here today. I get to preach with my mother-in-law in the audience. And I was back at the home church, and I was talking to somebody, letting them know I wasn't going to be there, and telling them about this, and they gave me a great opening joke. A great one. But I've been in a pit for a while that I dug myself into, so I'm just going to leave that where it's at. But it is a privilege to be here with you all today, and we're trusting God to help us through this portion of the service. So if you take your Bibles this morning, looking into 1 Kings chapter 19, and then we're going to look over at a verse in 2 Kings chapter 2. If you're willing and able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. First Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Then over into 2 Kings chapter 2, and just one verse here, verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon thee." With the Lord's help this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about passing the mantle. You may be seated. In 1 Kings there, we see that Elijah approached Elisha, and he threw his mantle over him, and what that meant was that he wanted Elisha to be his successor. Now, Elisha, he was a farmer, and he was out in the fields, and that was his occupation. He was a farmer. There was probably quite a few people that worked under him. He was probably in charge, and that was his occupation. But here in this story, it's kind of interesting what happens. Elisha gets rid of everything and follows Elijah. He got rid of his way of living. He burnt the oxen. He burnt the instruments, the yoke, all of that. And he didn't even go back to say goodbye to his parents. And I'm sure if we were in his shoes, we'd probably at least want to do that. But it was so important to him that he followed God's call in his life. So he got rid of everything and he followed that. It's pretty crazy, but we definitely can learn something from his commitment. His commitment to his new life is the first thing that I want to talk about. We all need to come to a place where we must turn away from our old life. We must leave our old life behind. Does anyone like to go camping? There's quite a few in here that like to go camping. And I enjoy camping myself, and I used to enjoy camping in a tent. But in the summer, that's not very fun. It's pretty hot and sticky. Not much fun. But the motorhome. The motorhome has allowed us to put all the conveniences of home on wheels. A camper no longer needs to contend with sleeping in a sleeping bag, cooking over a fire, hauling the water from a stream. Now we can park a fully equipped home on a cement slab in the middle of a few pine trees, hook up the water, sewer, electricity. No more bother with dirt, the smoke from the fire, no more drudgery of walking to the stream. Now it's possible to go camping. Never go outside. Maybe someone buys a motorhome with the hope of seeing new places, of getting out into the world. Yet we deck it out with the same furnishings of our home, our living room. Nothing really changes. We may drive to a new place, set ourselves in new surroundings, but the newness, it really goes unnoticed because we've carried the old setting along with us. And when Elisha is introduced to us in this story, we see right away he cuts ties with his old life to follow the calling that God had on his life. And we need to do the same. We need to turn away from our old life. There must come a point where we turn away, leave our old life behind, and we follow Christ. The adventure of a new life in Christ, someone once said this, the adventure of a new life in Christ begins when the comfortable patterns of the old life are left behind. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here this morning. This isn't the main thing that I want to talk about. But I do want to ask a question this morning. Have we really cut ties with our old life? Do we know the reality of sins forgiven? Are we walking in the light that God has for us? I pray that's so for each one here this morning. But if it isn't, it can be. God can transform you, taking away the sin and the old way of life. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in 2 Corinthians, we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God can help us, transform us, and allow us to leave that old life behind. We can be forgiven this morning. We can walk a new life with Christ. And I hope each one here has experienced that newness of life in their heart this morning. Not only thinking of the moment when we have left all, but I want to think about the moment, and this is where I want to spend most of the time this morning, when it's time to pass on the mantle, or pass on the torch to the next generation. And this specific first part is for the older generation, and I'm not even going to touch that. I'm not going to say who belongs where. You can take that up with the Lord, and wherever you fit in, you can identify with this morning. But to the older generation, are we passing the mantle well? In all of our lives, we come to the place where we have to think about the future beyond today, tomorrow, and even beyond our lives. For all of us, there are things we want to pass down and pass on to our children or our grandchildren. We may pass down family heirlooms, furniture, Great Aunt Agatha's couch, guns, Evan likes that, cars, trucks, whatever it may be. And there's also lessons that we may want to pass down that we want our children to learn. There's a name we want them to uphold. There are some traditions that we'd like to see continue. There are some family secrets, some family recipes. Great-grandma's recipe for homemade biscuits. Dad's secret fishing or hunting technique that we want to continue beyond our lives. And so we try to pass that down. Even men and women who start businesses and large corporations want to pass on the way they do things. They want to preserve the best way to make their product or their services. They want that brand to continue. And so they carefully calculate who they will allow to replace them and who they will allow to lead their company. And we call that passing the torch. And it's necessary to preserve what is important and valuable to us. And just like we all have some interest in preserving our family's traditions, we should even more so have a higher interest in preserving our spiritual heritage. Someone once said, what comes to one as a bud goes to another as a blossom. And what blesses one as a blossom can be handed down as fruit. This morning, are we setting up the next generation to be a success? Are we laying down the foundations for our families and those that are going to come after us? Is our spiritual life where it should be? Is the younger generation looking on and seeing a generation who is serious about serving God and being all that He'd want them to be? Are we honest? Are we real? Are we being an example of what a good Christian man or woman should be? Are we in His Word? Or are we just coming to church week after week and we don't really have a relationship with God? Maybe we only crack that Bible open on Sundays. Not really communing with God throughout the week as it should be. Yes, we're religious, but we don't have much of a spiritual heritage to pass down. We may look the part, may even be a good person, say and do the things we should, but we don't have that relationship with God. We don't have to stay in that state. We can turn to God. He can forgive us, transform us, and we can start that journey with Him. Beginning a life that can pass down a spiritual heritage. And maybe we do have a relationship with God. But is it where it should be? I heard once that if you're maintaining, you're drifting. Are we growing in Christ? Or are we just going through the motions week after week? And I'm not here today to cause someone to throw away their confidence. But I want to say we need to make sure that we're walking the talk, if you will. Your children and the younger people, the younger generation that you come in contact with, they know what's real and what's not. Lord, help us to be living real and strong Christian lives before the next generation, paving the way for them. Not only should we be living strong Christian lives in front of them, but are we training our children? Are we training the younger generation in the way they should go? Elijah didn't just go tell Elisha he was going to be his successor and then leave him. No. He took Elisha under his wing and began to train him, began to mentor him. Training and mentoring him for the time when he would take the reins. Are we training our children in the way? Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm not meaning training by just telling them what they should do or what they should believe, but teaching them what God's word says about things. My dad is one of my heroes, my spiritual hero. And I remember in my teen years, I had a lot of questions. Why we do things, why we wear this, why we act this way. And my dad oftentimes, rather than just saying, because I said so. And there was times in life he did do those things. I had to obey him and do things just because he said so. Maybe it didn't make sense to me. But when it came to spiritual things, and in my teen years, oftentimes he would give me scripture. Give me multiple scriptures to look at. He'd say, you go look at these and think about them and then come back and we'll talk about it. He'd give me the principle. And I appreciated that. It helped me out in multiple ways. It showed me where the principle was in the Bible. It showed me even how to defend my faith, why I believe what I believe. And are we showing our children and the younger generation that this is a way that's based on the Bible and its principles, and not just a way that we go because somebody said so? Are we cultivating an atmosphere in church and even at home where God is? We don't want to dwell on what God has done in the past and how he moved then. Yes, there are times when we look back at that and we draw encouragement from that. But we want to let the younger generation know that we serve the same God today, the same God that worked back then. It says that in Hebrews. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is still moving today, and we need to make sure our children and the younger people know that. Are we passing the mantle or the torch, if you will, well today? Are we doing our best to encourage and equip the next generation to follow God, to carry on that spiritual heritage? And I understand this morning we could do everything right. We're probably not going to. It's not very likely. But if we did everything right, there still has to come a time when the younger people and the next generation have to choose to follow God and allow him to lead their lives. We can't make that choice for them. They have to choose when they are going to step up and take the reins. But are we going to do everything we can to help them, to help them be a success? Now this morning, I've talked to the older crowd a little bit. And they do have a duty to preserve our heritage. But the younger generation has a duty to step up, to take the torch, and to carry on that spiritual heritage. So to the younger generation this morning, are we receiving the mantle well? Does anybody know anything about relay races with a baton? I know a little bit, not a whole lot. But from my understanding, there's teams. There's teams of four, and they run around a track with a baton, one at a time, one on each team. Dun, 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 dun. They run around. They carry that baton, and then they have to pass that baton to the next person in line. And it goes on until the baton passes to all four and then crosses the finish line. First one's winner. Woohoo. So there is a little spot that the person receiving the baton has to stay into. They have to stay in this little groove thing. I don't know if it's a groove thing, but it's like a zone. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. When the guy's rounding, he reaches out as far as he can. The other guy starts running, and he reaches back as far as he can. Then they pass that baton. And he's running full speed. The other guy's running full speed, and they just keep going. And how funny would it be if the guy who was passing the baton, who he was passing to, just stood there, just looked at him, waved a little bit, never reached out, grabbed the baton, and never kept going. In order for the race to continue, the one receiving the baton must take it. We see all throughout the story of Elijah and Elisha how Elijah was mentoring Elisha into the leader he would be. But eventually there came a time when Elisha had to step up. And we see in the story he stepped up and he asked for a double portion. He wanted to be used of God in the most powerful way possible. He had seen God do powerful things through Elijah. And not only did he want that, but he wanted God to use him even more. In whatever way God wanted. He didn't want to ride on the coattails of what Elijah had done. And the same is for the younger generation. We can't ride on the coattails of our parents or the older ones that have gone before us, on their spiritual progress, on the successes and the victories that they've had. There must be a time when we step up and we receive that mantle, a time when we take that mantle. But until that time comes, there's a few things we can do. We must do our our best to develop a strong spiritual life. Falling in love with Jesus. After all, that's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. Developing a relationship with Him. Getting grounded in His Word. Learning to discern His voice and listen to His voice. Not only can we do that, but we can listen to the ones that have gone before us. I remember during my teenage years, I didn't always want to listen to mom and dad. I thought I knew everything. But it's crazy how a few years will change your perspective and change things. And now I sit there thinking, huh, mom and dad told me about that. I should have listened then. And you'll find out that mom and dad, they did actually know a little bit of what they were talking about. They've walked this way before us, went through things that we're facing now. And oftentimes when you're going through it, it feels like nobody else is. Somebody is. And though others have gone before and they can help us and encourage us, but are we willing to listen and take their advice? Another way we can prepare to take the mantle is we can get involved in things at the church. Whatever it may be. If you're not sure, go ask your pastor. I'm sure he can plug you in somewhere. God wants to use you, even at your age. We've got to make the choice to follow God and be willing to do whatever He asks you to do. To step up and be the young man or the young lady He wants you to be. In the story of Elijah and Elisha, we see how the torch was passed. How God used both men. The same God that did powerful things for Elijah was the same God who did powerful things for Elisha. And we serve that same God today. To the older generation, are we passing the torch well? Are we doing everything we can to train up the next generation in the way they should go? Doing our best to set them up for spiritual success. I pray so this morning. To the younger generation, are we doing everything we can now to develop a strong spiritual life? To get involved in God's work even now so that when the time comes, we are there, ready to step up and take the torch and continue and carry on that spiritual heritage. I pray so this morning. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask Jordan Whitaker if he'd dismiss us in prayer.